God is so good. Amen. Praise God. He is good. He is good. Thank God. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, he goes wherever we go, but it's a different thing gathering together and just getting together with his people. You know, our flesh doesn't always want to do that. You found that out yet? Anybody have to deal with their flesh ever? Ever? You found out that it doesn't necessarily want to do what your inside man wants to do. Now, your inside man always wants to do the right thing. He's always ready. He's always ready to come to church, even if it snowed, even if there was a blizzard out. He'd be ready to go. But your flesh is a different story. You look outside and you just want to turn back over and go to sleep and just cuddle in. We all have flesh. We've all been there. Flesh is the same everywhere you go. Nobody's asked sanctified flesh. You let it go by itself. It's selfish. It wants to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it, period. So we have to tell it what to do. We have to discipline it. And we have to tell it what's going to go on in any given day. But just thank God we can gather together. It's a blessing to come together. And so bless you all for just putting down your flesh and coming. You'll be blessed. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Turn over to Psalm 107. Thank you, Lord. He is good. Thank God. He is good. Amen? Amen. Amen. He is good. We're just looking to him this morning. Are we believing together? Believing together to hear from him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 107. Thank God. Everybody there? Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. He's good, and his mercy endures forever. Hold your finger in Psalms 107. We're going to come back there, but turn over to Lamentations. Actually, don't turn over there. That'll take time, and it's on your sheet, and the next scripture is going to be on your sheet anyway in a different translation. Let's just look there. Lamentations 3:22, it says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Aren't you thankful? They don't fail. "They are his mercies, fail not, for they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Thank God. Now in the New Testament, because of the blood of Jesus, because of what he did, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Thank God. Let's read Psalms 103 in the Living Bible. It says, "He has not punished us as we deserve for all our sins, for his mercy toward those who fear and honor him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. He is like a father to us, tender and sympathetic to those who reverence him. For he knows we are but dust, and that our days are few and brief, like grass, like flowers, blown by the wind and gone forever." From this earth, gone forever. Thank God. But verse 11 said, "For his mercy toward those who fear and honor him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west." Thank God. Thank you, Lord. "For he is like a father toward us, tender and sympathetic to those who reverence him. For he knows we are but dust, and that our days are few and brief, like grass, like flowers blown by the wind and gone forever. God is a merciful God. He's a merciful God. I want to talk about God's mercy today. As we end this year, turn into the new year, it's a good thing to keep in mind His mercy. It doesn't matter what's gone on this year. We've all, probably not one of us, has just lived a perfect year. But God's mercy endures forever. His mercies are new every morning and new every year. Like there was one movie, Anne of Green Gables, we watched one time. There's a quote in there. She said she just likes to get up every day. It's a brand new day without any mistakes on it. Just a brand new day without any mistakes on it. We ought to get up every day. And you know, you may have to reset several times a day. But you have to just say, hey, God's mercies are new. Every morning, every afternoon, every hour, every minute, every second if it needs to be, if you're having one of those days. But God's mercy, they endure and they're new. So we just need to keep that in mind as we go into 2013. And no matter what has happened this year, no matter what's happened, put it behind you. That's good advice every year. That's good advice every day. That's good advice all the time. That no matter what, we just keep looking to Him. And if we've blown it, we acknowledge it and say, God, I blew it, and just go on. And thank God that we have the kind of life that we don't have to live in the shadow of our mistakes for all time, that we can put it behind us and go on because we have a merciful God. And He is merciful. Oh, He's merciful. Don't ever let the enemy try to convince you, but don't let him convince you that God's not merciful. God is a merciful God. Did you notice what it said in Psalm 103? It says, verse 13, He is like a father to us, tender and sympathetic to those who reverence Him. Do we reverence God? He's tender and sympathetic to us. Don't ever confuse the way God deals with His enemies in the Bible with the way He deals with His children. Those are two entirely different things, but the enemy will try to get you when you make a mistake or whatever. He'll quote scripture out of context. He'll bring things to you that try to convince you that somehow God is against you. God's not against anybody. He's not against anyone. But He works as much as He can in people's lives, so the measure will let Him. And so if we're reverencing Him, going towards Him, and acknowledging Him in our lives, then we are going to be on the same page with Him. If we'll do what He says to do, have reverence for Him, stay on His side, you don't have to worry about the things that happen to God's enemies. Hallelujah. We are not His enemies. We're His children. Amen. And His mercy covers us. His mercy is toward us. Other men may try to get you to remember the things you've messed up on. Things in your life could get you to, you may see somebody, it makes you want to think, oh man, I really blew it. Makes you think of a certain circumstance. Or somebody may even come to your face and say, yeah, but you did this. Well, if you're a child of God, it doesn't mean that you didn't do something wrong, but if you've already acknowledged it, you've made it right to the best of your ability with whomever, you know, that you were dealing with, you go on. It does not matter what a man can't keep you under. A man can't keep you reminded of something unless you let that person. Because if God is merciful and the judge of all spirits, the king of the universe, has said, you're fine, go on, I've dealt with that, go on, then who is any man to keep you reminded of something that you did wrong? They can't unless we let them. Or yourself. Who are you? If God has said, I've separated your sin from you as far as the east is from the west, who are we to beat ourselves up then for what we did? Because your mind will try to condemn you. Your heart try to condemn you. The enemy, of course, will try to come and condemn you. We just have to bring all those things right back to what the Word says and say, no, God's merciful. I dealt with that. I'm going on and I'm having a great day. This day has no mistakes on it. I'm having a great day. When we wake up, we ought to say, thank God. Whether it's rainy, cloudy, snowy, sunny, regardless, we ought to wake up and say, thank God it's a new day. I am so glad I'm alive and I have a day to serve God and I'm going to do great today. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying if we mess up, there might be something we have to deal with in the natural. It doesn't mean you wave a wand and everything goes away, but we can deal with anything with the power of God and we can go on and we don't have to live in the shadow of something that we did wrong. There's a difference. Yeah, we may have made a mistake and we may have done, if you went and you bought something you shouldn't, you're still going to make payments on it. Unless something happens where you get that thing paid off, imagine. But unless something changes, you're still going to deal with your decision. But that doesn't mean God can't bring you through, and God can't bring you over, and you can still enjoy the day in spite of any circumstance. Oh man, there are people that have just gone through horrible things, yet still kept their joy. Worse. Now, I don't know everything you've gone through. You don't know everything I've gone through. But there are people that have probably gone through many things that just anything that we've gone through would pale. People that have gone through certain things and wars and whatever, but still kept their joy through it all. And we can too. We can keep our joy. We can be happy and we can enjoy life. And this is one of the things that will steal our joy faster than anything is just condemnation and regret for your mistakes. The devil, the enemy would love to keep you in a place where I messed up here. And so I try as I might, I just can't be happy now. Even though this is back here, I feel like I'm somehow just lugging this weight and I can't get past it. It happened back here. Oh, I wish I could go change it. I wish I could, correct it. I wish I just had a chance to go and stand there and do it differently. Have you ever been there? I think we all have at one time or another. But the enemy would love to keep you there and just you limp through life. Looking back, oh, I wish you would play it over and over. Oh, if I could just have that chance. And you play the words over, you play the actions over. Why was I thinking that? What did I do? If I could go right back to there and do it differently, I would. But we can't. But God can still make something out of us going forward. He can still change things. He can still make a way. Where there seems to be no way, He can make a way. You still have your finger in Psalm 107? If you don't, let's turn back to Psalm 107. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Psalm 107, verse 1. Let's read verse 1 again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Right there. If we don't get anything else, if we just remember that the Lord is good. That no matter what is going on, that He is good. That He is not our problem. Ever. 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 He's never the problem. He's on our side. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. What's going on here? You see this several times in a row. People blew it. People did the wrong thing. But notice what it says. God was merciful. God is merciful beyond what we can even comprehend. He is so merciful. Always stay on his side. Let's read verse 10 again and go forward. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the words of God. They rebelled. These people rebelled against the words of God. That's why they're having hardship, and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut bars of iron in two. Thank you, Lord. God is merciful. He is a good God. Let's read 17. It says, fools, because of their transgression. Has anybody ever been in here a fool? Ever done something stupid? You just did something that was not bright. And you look back and you say, oh, that was dumb. I knew I shouldn't have done that. But you did it. Well, this verse is for us. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, we're afflicted. Because you made your bed, now it's time to lie in it, the world would say. Well, that's what it's saying. Because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, we're afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Sent his word and healed them. Don't ever let the enemy convince you, because he'll do this. Well, you messed up. You know, he'll say, you messed up, so you know you're dealing with sickness or you're dealing with something. Well, you blew it. That's why you're dealing with this. Well, it might be true. But you can come right here and say, but, same thing. These people, they were afflicted because of what they did. They were messed up, but they cried out to the Lord. And they didn't even have the covenant that we have. But they cried out to the Lord, and what did God do? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God's merciful. He's good all the time. So never let the enemy convince you at any point, well, you've blown it too bad. You've messed up too far this time. Yeah, I know God has saved you in the past. I know God has brought you out of certain things, but you knew better. And you blew it anyway. And so because you blew it, there is no hope for you. There is no help for you. That's a lie. It's a lie. There is always hope in God. If you haven't turned your back on him. I mean, how many times we saw people rebelled against him. You saw Israel over and over and over and over. They would rebel against God, and then they would come back to him and cry out, and he would save them. And then they would do the exact same thing again. As soon as they got everything fixed, as soon as, you know, the pressure was off, the bills were paid, the enemies are backed off, now we go back and we do something stupid again and go right back to the idols, and then they cry, they get themselves in a mess and they cry out to God. And God comes in and he helps them and gets the enemies off their back and gets them back to where they need to be. Everything is good for a little bit, and they go right back into the idols and all that stuff. Over and over you see that. Well, they have flesh like we have flesh. Humanity hasn't changed that much, and we don't have to rebel against him. But don't ever let the enemy tell you you've just gone too far. God's merciful. Now, there is no sense in doing something that's going to bring you harm when you could live better. There's no sense in rebelling against God when it is so much better just to live for him and just stay on his side. If he says to do something, just do it. Don't find out what's on the other side of not doing it. Don't do that. If we'll just look to him and say, God, you said to do this, that's what I'm doing. But when we mess up and we miss it and we come to realize, Lord, I knew you wanted me to do that. I knew what you were saying. I didn't do it. I drug my feet. As soon as we realize it, don't run from him. Run to him and say, God, I blew it. Help me. And he will. Every time. Don't ever let the devil say, you've blown it too far. What does he want you to do? Run away from God. Where are you going to run to? Him? The enemy? That's exactly what he wants you to do. Well, God's mad at you. He's not going to help you now. You don't want to go anywhere near him. No, that's exactly where we need to be, is in his arms. Run back to him and say, God, man, I may have missed it. Help. Help me. Help me. I was a fool. I was stupid. I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth. It was Brother Hagin or Smith Wigglesworth. I heard Brother Hagin telling it. I can't remember if it was him or he's talking about Smith Wigglesworth. But there was this girl. I believe she was around 16 or something young. She came up to be prayed for, and I think later they knew that she had trouble with her female organs, all kinds of trouble, just diseased and everything. But I believe, whichever one it was, Smith Wigglesworth or Brother Hagin, knew, just saw it when she came up, that the reason she was like this is she was doing stuff she shouldn't have been doing at a young age, and just immoral things, and she was had opened up herself to this. And she was in a bad situation. And minister quoted this scripture. I mean, so he saw this just in the spirit, just saw it, knew exactly what had happened. And he quoted the scripture and says, the Bible says fools, because of their transgressions, were afflicted. If you cry out and say, Lord, I'm that fool, he said, you'll be healed. And the lady just hit her knees and say, Lord, I'm that fool, I'm that fool. And she was healed just immediately, cleared up. Why? God is merciful. You just acknowledge, Lord. There's no sense when you know you missed it going, I didn't miss it. No, if you knew you missed it, God already knows it. He saw it happen. The best thing to do is just go to him and say, Lord, I blew it. Help, please. Help me. And he will. Don't ever doubt. He will. He is merciful. And if he did this for people in the old covenant, over and over, people that flat out rebelled against him, don't let the enemy convince you that he won't do it for us, children of God, with a better covenant, with a new covenant. He is merciful. He is merciful. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Let's turn over to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2:14. Says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Notice that in verse 17, that he had to be made like his brethren, like us. He took on the likeness of a man, that he might be merciful, might be a merciful and faithful high priest. In verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus knows. He just didn't yield to sin. He didn't make any mistakes, but he was tempted. And he knows what it's like to have flesh. And he knows what it's like to be tempted. He didn't yield, but he knows that feeling. And that's the reason he came. He had to be made like us, so that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest. And so when we blow it, like we read another psalm, he realizes where we came from. He realizes what we are. Look on your sheet there, back in Psalm 103. He is like a father to us, tender and sympathetic to those who reverence him, for he knows we are but dust, and that our days are few and brief, like grass, like flowers blown by the wind and gone forever. He knows. He understands where we came from. He understands why we mess up, which is why he had to come and be our Savior, because we needed a Savior. So it's no surprise to God when we blow it and don't do everything perfect. He expects that. I'm not saying he winks at it. It doesn't mean it gives us that we should go off and do things because, you know, God expects it. No, no, no. You open yourself up to the enemy that way. You don't want to go down that path. You don't look at it lightly, but the fact remains, you're not going to, I'm not going to live a perfect life from here on out. And when we blow it, when we do yield to things that we shouldn't, we just need to know without a shadow of a doubt that God's merciful, that he is there, we can run to him, and that he can still make good out of what we made a mess of. He can clean up our mess. Even if we made a royal mess of things, if we'll just go to him, he knows how to untangle the worst mess. He knows. He can take something that looks just horrible, looks like there is no way you could ever put it back together, and he can put it back together, and he can make it shine. He's done it over and over. And he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't do for one what he would do for what he wouldn't do for another. But we just need to go to him. So many people will run from him and say, I've blown it too far. I've blown it too bad. And so they shrink from him. Some people, they don't want to have anything to do with God. Excuse me. After a certain point, the enemy convinces them that they've messed up too bad. Well, God can't work in our lives when we shut him out. And so we need to run to him and know that he's there to receive us and there to help us. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 13. It says, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them." Let's read it on your scripture sheet in the New International Version. It says, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them." That's a high thought. Verse 16. "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Like we said before, God is a faith God. He sees ahead and he said, "This is what will be. I see this." Before we were even out of our mother's womb, when we were in our mother's womb, he saw ahead and he said, "This is what I have planned for this one." And there it says, those things, the things we were going to do, are written in a book. God sees us a certain way. He sees us doing things. So it does not faze him when we make a mistake. He has an infinite number of backup plans. He says, "This is what's going to be." Now we take a detour. He knows how to get us back on track. We may not see how to get back on track, but he knows. He knows what needs to happen. He can get us back to where we need to be. Men may not. They may say, "There's no way. There's no how. There's no way this can come back full circle. There's no way this can be reconciled. There's no way this can be remedied." But God said, "No, I see where they're going. I already have a predetermined path for them. This is just a hiccup. Now this is what we're going to do. If they just call on me," which is the first step, just go back and say, "Lord, I blew it, and I'm going forward." Never, ever run away from him. As long as we come back to him and say, "God, put it back into his hands. I blew it. Here you go." Now he says, "All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this, 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 and this, and here. Now we're back on track." He has a plan for each of us. We're not big enough. I mean, we could throw it all away if we really tried hard. I'm sure we could just keep running from him. But if our heart's right and we're doing what we know to do, that's the reason that Jesus came. He did not come to save people that were perfect. He has called us to do something, and in that call, he knows that you're not going to do it perfect. He knows I'm not going to do it perfect, and yet he still called us. This helps us to be merciful to other people. Always stay on God's side. When you see somebody else doing something and you want to say, "Well, what in the world are they doing that? How? I don't see that." If they're good enough for God and God put them in that place, then what are we saying when we say, "Oh, I don't see it"? Well, we don't see a lot of things. You and I don't know a lot of things. You and I don't know a lot about the way things are. You don't know what God sees. You don't know what he saw. You don't know where they've come from. You don't know where they're going. And when we go and say, "I don't know about that," we do not want to be there. We don't know a lot of things, and what we're doing is exalting ourselves to a place equal with God. We're saying, "God, I don't know what you saw in this person. Why don't you explain it to me? Because I just don't see it." If it's good enough for him, we ought to say, it's good enough for me. God bless him. And this helps us when we know, see, so many times when we're hard on other people, it's because we're feeling this ourselves. We are feeling and seeing the mistakes in our own life and feeling the pressure in our own selves. And so it's so easy to start pointing the finger at other people. It doesn't make us feel any better. It makes us feel worse. But it's easy to do. And it's human nature. It's flesh. I mean, unrenewed nature is this way. But if the more we just know that God has a plan for me and He called me to do it in spite of my weaknesses, in spite of where I am, that He's going to bring me to the place I need to be to fulfill this call, boy, we can be merciful to other people. We can say, and it's the same for you and you and you. It's the same. Isn't Jesus wonderful that He calls us and is able to use us when we're not qualified or probably usable a lot of times, but He works with us. And He is patient, and He's kind, and He's merciful, and we'll make mistakes. And we go to Him, and He says, that's all right, why don't you just do this and here. And He doesn't throw us on the trash heap when we make a mistake. Like some people in the world were. Well, you blew it, get out of here, you're fired. No, God is good, and He works with us. And so we don't do everything right, but He sees our heart, and He says, that's all right, I see where you're going, get up. And if God says that, and He sees that, then we ought to believe it ourselves. And we can't let any man talk us out of what God said we're going to do or be. Because He had it ordained before the foundations of the earth. He saw it when we were in our mother's womb, and He has seen ahead, and He said, this is what I see you as. It doesn't matter what we look like today. He said, this is the plan I have for you. And if He said that, then we should not fight against it. We shouldn't disqualify ourselves when the King of the universe has qualified us. If He's qualified us and said, I say you're fit, I say you're called to do this, and I say you're able to do it, then no matter how many times we mess up, we get up and say, God, if you said it, I'm able to do it. Regardless of what I feel like. When God came to Moses and told him that he was the one that was going to go to Pharaoh, Moses said, well, I'm not qualified. I can't speak well. Look at me. Surely you want somebody else. And God spoke to him, talked to him. It did not make God happy that Moses was coming back saying, well, I'm this, I'm that. A lot of people would think, well, he's just being humble. No, he's telling God he doesn't know what he's talking about, is what he's doing. He's saying, well, I'm not this, I'm not that, I've blown it here. You don't want me, get somebody else. That did not make God happy. That made him mad. So if God tells us that we're called to do something, the best thing is to say, yes, sir. Doesn't matter what I think about myself. Doesn't matter about my skill set or what I think. You said it, okay, I can do it. Yes, sir. What do you want me to do? What can I do to get on that track now? What can I improve? What can I work on? How do I get there, God? Just show me. Don't let the enemy talk you out of what God has told you to do. He has it written in a book what we're supposed to do. The Bible says it. He's ordained us to do something. And in 2013, do you realize we're ordained to do something? He has something for us to do. Every one of us. He has a call upon each one's life. We're all called to do different things. Don't ever get your eye on somebody else and say, well, I wish I could do what they're doing, or I don't have exactly the skill set they're doing. Well, it doesn't matter because you're not called to do what they're doing. They probably can't do what you're supposed to do either. And in fact, nobody can take anybody else's place. You can't. You can try, but you can't. If God Almighty said, you're to do this, how can an individual, a created being, if the Creator says, you're meant for this place, I created you for this, it's written in my book for you to do this, somebody can't come in and take that place? They can't. People try to do this all the time in the natural. They try to do it in churches. They try to do it. You can't do that. You can't take a place. You can't say, well, I believe I'm called to do this. No, be careful. What did God call us to do? If God called us to do something, then nobody can take away, but we can't assume something He didn't tell us to do either. We just have to hear from Him, listen to Him, and then as we're walking that out, as we walk it out this year, there are going to be times we're going to say, there may be times I should say, we're going to say, oh man, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I was thinking. I knew what my intentions were, but that did not come out the way I intended it. Man, and that's the time that we have to say, God, thank you for your mercy. How do I fix it, God? What's the next move? Now what do I do? How do I do? Because I want to stay on your track. There's no sense in at that point going, God, I tried it. I've tried it too many times. It just doesn't work. I just might as well quit. Your flesh will want to do that. Your flesh will just think that's, well, you know, if I just throw a big enough fit and I just, you know, act like I'm just so worthless, then maybe God will just say, oh, okay, you're okay. No, God is right there the whole time looking at us saying, I still called you. Get up. Go on. He's not impressed with us throwing a fit or acting like we're bad. He already knows what we are. He saw us do it. He knows it. He's not falling off the throne. The best thing we can just do is say, God, I blew it. Again, what do I do? I'm going to stay on. My will is to fulfill what you want me to do. Thank you for your mercy. And I'm going to get up, and I don't care if I have to dust myself off 10 more times today, I'm still going to get up and go on. I'm still going to get up and go on. Because I'm going to follow what you have me to do, and I am not going to let my mistakes get me down. I will keep getting up and getting up and getting up. And you know, once you get that attitude, once you get there, you find you go through things a lot quicker. Because you've shut off the quit. One of my instructors said, you have to get the quit burned out of you. You have to get it to where you don't talk about quitting. It is not an option. Quitting is not an option. Saying, I can't do it is not an option. If God called us, we can, period. And we just keep going up and saying, I'm going to go, I'm going to do it, I'm going to keep on, Lord, with whatever you have for me to do. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 3:12. Let's turn there. Thank you, Lord. As we turn into this new year, we just want to have the right mindset, be thinking on the right things, be ready to hit the floor, hit the ground running. Philippians 3, verse 12, says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's read 13 again. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I have not made it. I have not arrived. But I've left. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. If I've blown it, I don't care if it was 100 times yesterday, I forget it, I get up, I go on, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I look forward and say, God, you've called me. I'm going to fulfill that call. I'm going to fulfill that call. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm going to keep going. And if I mess up again, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go on, and I'm going to keep getting up, and I'm going to keep getting up, and I'm going to keep getting better, and I'm going to get more skilled, and I'm going to get more knowledgeable, and I'm going to get more word in me, and I'm going to yield to the Spirit more, and I'm going to be stronger this year than I ever have been before. We just keep going on, and hope builds in us, and our faith is quickened because we're speaking the word to us. To ourselves, sometimes you just have to start speaking like that, especially when you've just blown it. That's the best time to say, I hear the voice of God. I will fulfill the plan. Well, it doesn't look like it. You've just blown it three times in a row. That's the best time to speak it. That's the best time to say, no, I make good decisions. I make wise decisions, and you've just blown it three times in a row. You've made stupid things, stupid decisions, but I make good decisions, and I will fulfill the call that God has placed on my life. It will help us just to say, this is going to be the best year of my life. Say that. This is going to be the best year of my life. Say that one more time. This is going to be the best year of my life. Now you can say, oh, come on, Jim. It's not going to be the best. Why not? Why not? God goes from glory to glory, from faith to faith. The best. Why can't every year of our life be better than the year before? Why not? Why not? Why shouldn't it be? We know more of God. We're closer to Him. We're yielding to Him more. Why shouldn't it be better than last year? It should just keep getting... Why? The world looks back and says, oh, the glory days. Oh, when I had, you know, playing ball in high school, whatever. That's nonsense. Looking back all the time, reminiscing. That means you don't have something today. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to high school. Now, if I had to go back to high school, I'd hope I had some more sense than I did then and do some things different, like I'm sure we all do. But I don't really want to go back there. I'm saying with the knowledge I had then and just relive it, I don't have anything I want to go back. I don't want to go back 10 years ago. I'm enjoying life, and I fully expect 2013 to be the best year ever. And that goes for every child of God. We just keep going up and up. We don't look, oh man, I really wish, you know, go back 10 years. No. Now. Boy, I'm so glad I know what I know now instead of a year ago. We just keep getting more. Oh, man, more light. Well, there were some things that I liked about 2 years ago, but, man, all the things I didn't know. I don't want to go back to that year. I'm glad I'm here. And we just keep going up. Hallelujah. Let's close with Hebrews 10:35. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We could read the next few verses too. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That applies to our whole Christian life. As we press forward in the things of God, you'll be tempted to draw back and say, I don't know. That seems a little too far, God. I don't know. That's stretching my faith too much. But we just need to keep pressing forward and say, no, God, I'm not going to draw back. I will press forward into everything you have for me. Everything. Don't step back and try to rest on your laurels and say, well, we'll just see. If you know God is telling you to do something and He's putting something in your heart, but your head's saying, I don't know, maybe it'd be better if we just waited or whatever. No, you want to be right where God has you to be. It don't rationalize something and say, well, it would be better if we waited here. Now, I'm not saying you jump out ahead of God, but if God's telling you, you need to be doing this, you need to be stepping out, this is what I have for you, you don't want to think because or do because you think it's safer or whatever to be over here. That's not where you want to be. You want to be right where God wants you to be. Don't draw back. Stay right with Him. 2013, stay right with Him. Stay following Him and just go with whatever He says because He's good. He has our back. He has the best plans for us. He's already laid them out. And He said, this is what I want you to do now. If He says it, okay, God, I'm going to jump. I'm going to go with you. And don't worry about making a mistake in the process because you know that God is merciful. And that if I do make a mistake, He's there to pick me up. He's there to keep me going. And I will keep going and fulfill the plan of God. So many times fear keeps us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Fear keeps us from doing the things that God has told us to do. We're afraid if I step out and do what I feel's on my heart, I could fall on my face. We need to get that fear out of the way. We need to know that we serve a merciful and a loving God and that He'll be right there with us to catch us and that drawing back does not please Him. He would rather us step out, make some mistakes like we may, but be following what He wants to do rather than I'm going to draw back and play it safe. God does not play it safe. Have you noticed that about Him? God does not play it safe. He steps out over and over in the Bible against overwhelming odds. He stepped out. He would pick people and say, Gideon, you know, they would have people. Now, that's too many people. Let's cut down the size of the army. The odds are too good right now. Let's cut it down because He's going to get all the glory. 2013, just push on with Him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He's a merciful and good God. He'll never let us, you know, if we stumble, He's there to pick us up. He's there to keep us on. Keep us going. Amen.